Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. And Mark, you and I were just talking about how busy we are. I mean, you got all these sports going on, but you wrote a column recently about a baseball fan's bucket list, and it makes me lean towards baseball. I mean, we're going to talk about the Giants here, but the one item that I saw in there that really caught me was to put my face in a baseball glove, which I did, and just breathe deeply. And it took me back to when I was 9 years old in my first Little League baseball game. So I have to thank you for that. And it's good to relax, you know, just think about baseball when you have all these sports going on, right?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you're talking about the Bay Area News Group. We put out what I really thought was a great-looking baseball spectral section. I hope the people who subscribe got theirs, and I think you can go to Walgreens and get it. And I just had the little piece in the front there where I did list all the things I thought every real baseball fan in the Bay Area should do this summer. And you're right, sticking your face in a ball glove and breathing deeply was one of them. A little sick. Can I ask you, did you do it at a sporting goods store as I instructed, or did you use one of the ones that you had in your house?
Well, yeah, I took one that I had here buried somewhere in the garage.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, no, what I really wanted was the original glove. I wish I had that. I don't, because that's the smell you want that'll take you back. You know, one of those old gloves.
Yeah, but even more so, I remember going in the sporting goods store in my little town in Ohio and just remembering how just all that leather smelled, and then you'd grab one of those mitts, and that's why I put it in there. You know, you should really still go to a sporting goods store and just stick your face in the mitt and smell and just see what kind of reaction you get. You know what? I bet people would like also pick up gloves. It's such an evocative time of your childhood.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, at least it made me lean towards baseball, because, I mean, there was that one day that was pretty incredible, Mark. I mean, you had to decide what you were going to do. You had an A's game at home, Giants game at home. You had the Sharks at home. The Warriors were home in a big game against the Spurs. Everybody was playing at home. The San Jose Giants had a game. I mean, it was out of control. I don't know that we've had a day like that in the Bay Area before.
You know, I bet we have. I think we sometimes take that all for granted.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool that day. And, yeah, lots of choices. The Sharks played hockey that night, I remember. And, you know, not to mention all the Little League games that I'm sure were going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And so people said, well, how did you pick where you'd go? And I said, well, here's how I picked. I answered my email. My boss said, here's where you're going, which turned out to be the Giants game, the home opener. And that was fun.
Yeah, and I saw you there, and that was great. I mean, it was great to have the Dodgers in town for the first homestand of the season for the Giants. And a lot of stuff happened in that series where the Giants won 3 out of 4. I mean, let's start with opening day, where it kind of looked like the game was over. The Giants were trailing 4-0, and Jake Peavy wasn't pitching that well. There was a little controversy with that double play with Joe Panic and the neighborhood rules. So there was a lot going on in that game.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean, I someone had asked me about opening day and my opening day memories and stuff, and how, you know, this all fit in now. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, you may know.
So
the Cincinnati Reds were the team closest to our town. It was about 2.5 hours away. I lived out kind of in the middle of nowhere, really. But and they always open the season first before anybody else, but all through the Midwest, opening day has a whole kind of different flavor than it does out here on the West Coast, because that really is, in the Midwest, that's kind of the official start of springtime. Can be 40 degrees and snowing, and sometimes it is, but it's like baseball started, so here's spring, and it's great, and people will show up in their parkas and watch it. Out here, I think it's more of a feeling like, let's get this going, and certainly with the Giants playing the Dodgers, it really was, let's just get this going. Let's go see what happens. You know, people have been waiting for this for that reason more than just, oh, it's spring. I mean, spring came, what, it was really warm a couple weeks ago. But and that's what made that series so much fun, was that we got to see probably what are the two best teams, I think, in the West go against each other right out of the gate. And I can't think of a opening four game series in the first 2 weeks of the season, almost as compelling as that. I mean, I'm searching my brain here. I'm sure maybe it might have happened, but we had a little bit of everything in that series, and that opening game, that first home opening game by the Giants, it had a little bit of everything, and kind of showed why this Giants team may be a little different than others. I mean, I thought the question I wanted to ask after that game, if you remember, you're right, the Dodgers were leading, Peavy was struggling, he was behind 4-0, but Bochy stuck with him to get to the inning where he could pinch hit for him. And I asked Bruce, you know, does the fact that you have this lineup that is, I think everybody acknowledges, is the best hitting lineup 1 through 8 or 1 through 9, depending on how Bochy draws
right.
up, that the Giants have had in a long time, certainly since the Bonds-Kent era, and maybe even better than that. And I said, does that allow you to be more patient earlier in the game and manage that early part of the game very differently, if because you know sooner or later this lineup might break out? And he conceded it did. It allowed him to be a little more patient, certainly in that game. And PV hung in there. And then once the Giants lineup did get rolling, it didn't stop. And with Hunter Pence's grand slam is the exclamation point. That was a really fun game because we had all that different stuff you mentioned. I prefer all that to. I mean, the ceremonies they have when they win are nice, and people are riding horses and all that. But I think I like the organically generated excitement that like a game like that can provide.
We'll continue the conversation with Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Right away, we got to talk about the neighborhood play. I mean, what do you think about the new rule? I like the idea of protecting middle infielders, but I don't like the idea of the neighborhood play being looked at on replay and just it's going to be just analyzed to death whether or not a second baseman or shortstop is on the bag. And these guys have been taught to straddle second base, you know, their whole life. They've got to change the way they go about their business turning a double play.
Right, and they are having trouble adjusting to it. Joe Panik said that after the game when some of us were asking him about it. Well, there are many layers to this, right? I mean, the most awkward thing to me, what happened that day was that, okay, so it looks like the Dodgers hit into a double play and we're out of the inning, and everybody just kind of stands around and like, oh, wait, no, and just while we were doing this replay, a run scored, by the way, because it was, you know, and
exactly.
that part I don't like. And if you ask me what I think, I mean, I don't like the way they've got it right now. I didn't like it when they called the neighborhood play. I think if the rule is you've got to have your foot on the bag for somebody to be out, then you ought to have your foot on the bag. But that doesn't mean you can't protect the players in that situation. To me, it's like a personal foul in football. If you know it's going to be called and you're going to be kicked out of the game for doing something, that's what people should be going to a game thinking, knowing. The fact that, okay, so now supposedly we'll have your foot on the bag and you have to protect you. I think that should have been the rule all along. It wasn't. So you're right. A whole generation of, and maybe a couple generations of players have grown up just kind of expecting they could wave their foot by the bag and it would count. I think that was wrong. But if you're going to do that, then you've got to make sure that you keep those guys safe in every way possible. And I'm, you know, so but I don't know that I like the replay component of it, if that makes sense.
That, I mean, it does, because I tell you, Mark, this is what I really have a problem with, is that I agree with you. You should be on the base or at least right next to it. It's pretty obvious when a guy's doing a neighborhood play and he's not even close and you're going, how is he getting a double play out of that? But if you're right next to it like Panic was on that play, now you're going to do replay. You're going to zoom in and all that. It just gets to be too much, in my opinion.
I would trust that. I trust the umpire to call it right and keep the guy safe.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're going to have these every play this year. I hear that's anywhere close is going to have these intense reviews that just, you know, you try to pick it apart and say, well, that maybe he's doing that. You know, keep the guy safe. Do make him touch the bag. I mean, that's the way I feel. But let's either eliminate the replay part of that particular play, or just make sure somehow it's done more quickly. It took like 3 to 5 minutes. It seemed like
it was a long. It was 2.5, I think, to 3 minutes.
That's,
yeah,
that's not exciting.
That is not exciting. You know what is exciting is when a pitcher has a no-hitter going, and that's what happened in the game on Friday night at AT&T Park for the Dodgers, Ross Stripling. And there are so many levels to this that I'd want to talk about with you. But, I mean, the first thing is that in today's baseball world, when a pitcher has Tommy John surgery, there's no way that an organization is going to allow him to go more than 100 pitches. Now, do I agree with that? Am I old school and thinking, you know, you should be able to go out there and finish that? Yes, but not in today's world. It's not going to happen. So for fans to be ripping Dave Roberts like they were on post-game talk radio that I heard, I find it funny because, I mean, where are these people? They're not following baseball in the year 2016 that – these pitchers are protected. So what did you think of that situation?
Well, it was a tough situation to put Roberts in. The next day I read that story where the kid's dad was in San Francisco for the series and met up or at least saw Roberts and just thanked him with tears in his eyes for keeping his kid safe, really, is what you're talking about. You know, it would be interesting if we could all transport ourselves back to 1910 and see. But what people forget is in 1910, nobody was throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. No, maybe one guy was. And the stress that these guys put on their arms now is such that if this guy's your asset, that's what he is. He's an asset. Let's be blunt. And you got to protect your asset that way. And by the way, you know, the guy who came in to, you know, relieve him, he was getting paid to get guys out too.
Right, and then he gives up a home run.
I've seen them. I've seen, you know, multiple pitcher no-hitters. That's allowed. And, you know, the guys who came in to relieve him were paid to get guys out too. And Roberts, I presume, picked the guys who he thought would get the Giants out. It didn't happen. I would be more critical of the guys who came in and didn't get the job done than either Roberts or the kid.
Yeah, Trevor Brown, of all people, hits that home run, his first major league home run. I mean, that was exciting. But, you know, I wonder about Ross Stripling, the pitcher who had the no-hitter going, if that was his moment in the sun. And, you know, a lot of times you think about living for today. I know what you're saying about the investment, but, you know, look at Steven Strasburg. They held him out, and then the Nationals didn't get to the postseason. And who knows if they'll ever win a World Series. You know, maybe that was their chance.
But that,
I think
that was a little different. I mean, that was at the end of the season.
That was at the end of the season,
and the arm supposedly, you know, I think at the end of this, don't you agree that if this is game 150, Stripling's allowed to finish the game, or at least try the no-hitter.
Right.
You know, try to get the no-hitter. I mean, the fact is first game, and he's a kid. I think that, you know, it's individuals and situations, and in that situation, I think Roberts made the right call. You know, I mean, yes, he could have manned up and did it, but, I mean, I was at Tim Lincecum's no-hitter in San Diego, and how many pitches he threw that night? Like 140? You know, what has he done since then, really? I mean, I guess he came back and threw another no-hitter, but it was against the Padres again. I wonder about that. I wondered about that night, you know, whether that was the right thing to do. But you know, veteran pitcher in that condition. It's end of it. You know, John McNamara, when he was managing the Cincinnati Reds, I was working in Cincinnati, and he was probably the manager I got close to, at least in terms of him kind of being able to, well, Roger Craig too, just having really good discussions about strategy and stuff. And McNamara said, look, you can look at numbers, you can look, you know, it still comes down to individuals and situations, and the manager is hired to assess each individual in each situation and how, you know, to make the right call. And I guess Roberts before the game had said, and he was not going to let the guy throw more than 100 pitchers. Now this pressure comes on, and he has to make the tough call. But I'm not gonna criticize him for that.
No, me neither. Because I also think it was an organizational decision. They said, hey, there's no way he's throwing more than 100. In fact, we'd rather him pitch maybe 80 pitches. But I also think this is a rookie manager at work here, where maybe Bruce Bochy has a little more leeway being a veteran guy. You know, maybe he can do a little more because the organization trusts him, and his judgment about a pitcher, maybe it's not based on exactly 100 pitches. Maybe it's based more on, you know, his viewpoint looking
at
the pitcher.
Well, and also Bochy has Dave Rigetti in the dugout.
Exactly.
Who has seen about every situation you can see in baseball. And, you know, that's a great resource to lean on. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the Dodgers pitching coach, but
Honeycutt, I think, is still.
Is it Honeycutt? Yeah, well, Honeycutt's a good man, yeah. And he's, you know, I'm sure he's a good resource also. But the Strasburg case is a far more interesting case to debate. To me, this is not a difficult debate with Stralen.
Right.
You know, the Strasburg case is a legitimate one to debate, and I think you can make a case on either side of that. But this one, no.
No, to me it was pretty much a no-brainer. What about the fans, though, too, reacting? I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of Dodger fans there, of course, but there were a lot of Giants fans that were booing. I mean, they wanted to see him go after that no-hitter. What do you think of that?
Well, they pay their money. Of course, they want to see something that they, you know, can tell unforgettable. You know, that I went to the ballpark, and said, of course you want to.
Even if it's against their team.
That night, you know, the night I saw Lincecum pitch his no-hitter in San Diego, I paid for a ticket. I was there with some friends. I was vacationing in San Diego, and we went, and I was drinking beer, and I'm the one guy around me saying, wow, 120 pitches? Really? 125? But everybody around me, Giants fans and Padres fans, were like, no, leave him in. I mean, I get it. Of course, everybody, particularly these days where it's so hard to cut through the clutter of, you know, just there's so all the sports we're talking about, we mentioned. Well, if you paid your money that day with all that stuff going on last weekend, you know, you want to be the one to say, oh, yeah, well, you were at the Warriors game? Well, guess where I was? I got to see a no-hitter. Of course,
exactly.
I get that. People want to do that. I mean, I remember Jack Nicklaus once saying that, you know, people now, because there's so much on TV, that golf tournaments, you know, unless somebody is doing something spectacular, it's just kind of, and they'll change the channel. And he said that's, you know, really where Tiger Woods kind of saved golf that way, as a TV product, maybe not as a game, but as a TV product. And Jordan Spieth is doing the same thing now. You know, it's hard to cut through the clutter and have something compelling happen in any sport.
We'll have more with Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now let's get back to the conversation with Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. when you look at the way the Giants are constructed now, I don't know that I expected this kind of power, the back-to-back-to-back home runs on the road and the way they're hitting home runs, but is this team maybe more exciting? You know, you had those teams that had the great pitching, and I'm not sure about this rotation outside of Bumgarner, even with the newcomers. You'll have to tell me what you think. But is this team maybe more exciting because all the way through the lineup, they're going to score runs? Everybody is a threat in that lineup.
I think it's exciting is a subjective term, and mm-hmm. so I guess as any other adjective you want to pull out. I think it's more intriguing and interesting. I mean, I think like right now the A's are pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they're doing over there. But I think it's intriguing because you've got interesting personalities and this interesting thing with Pagan moving to left field and maybe batting ninth some nights. That's really intriguing. It's more interesting. It's more, you know, I think I've used this quote before with you on the podcast. The Civil War historian Bruce Catton, guy I really admire, you know, he wrote, because you know, baseball kind of started up during the American Civil War, right, that baseball is the greatest conversation piece America has ever invented. And I think that's what this Giants team is. It makes great conversation. Excitement is going to happen. Whoever's hitting a home run or whatever, but just the intrigue of anticipation and choices and stuff that might happen is really kind of off the charts for this Giants team. I mean, because everybody is thinking, you know, two batters ahead or you know, which is the way that baseball is fun to enjoy. And then not only that, but thinking with now these you know, free agent pitchers they picked up that are supposed to be doing stuff for them and star players, they're thinking like ahead in the rotation. I mean, this is a great Giants team to kind of chew the fat on, and I'm looking forward to the summer in that respect. I mean, the A's are going to have to. I don't expect the A's are going to be this exciting all year, and. Also, we have these names on the A's that I don't know who half these guys are, but you know, the Giants, these familiar personalities, that homegrown infield, it's just a great conversation starter. The team. I mean, I suppose they would rather be called an exciting team than a great conversation starter, but that's what they are in my mind.
Well, there's a lot of stability there too. I mean, Brandon Belt just got a nice extension on his contract, so all these players, you know, a lot of them, the core players, are going to be around for about 6 years. But still, you know, Mark, sometimes you got to get lucky. It seems like with Matt Duffy, they were lucky in a way. They were going to try to sign Pablo Sandoval, and imagine if that had happened instead of what did happen, which is Duffy being the third baseman.
Of course, every team that's successful has some luck. I mean, remember the Warriors drafted Curry in the second round.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, well, that was lucky. I mean, I was, you know, give him credit for doing it. But if they thought he was that good, why didn't they, you know, move up to pick him? You know, and to pick the person. So, you know, there's that saying, the Branch Rickey saying, luck is the residue of design. But I think they were lucky that Duffy just got good maybe a year or two sooner than probably they expected him. I think they must have expected he'd be pretty good. But to do what he did as soon as he did, I think, was the real surprise. Give him credit for being, smart about actually that whole infield. Because for so many years, I remember writing, you know, this team does not produce position players out of their system. It's all pitchers, which is good, and you can trade some of those for it. But you know, if you can kick out one good position player rookie every year, your organization's doing a good job, and the Giants are doing that.
Before we finish up, you know, you talk about all these infielders and playing together, but in baseball these days, you can't play every day. We already talked about the pitcher coming out with a pitch count, and I think Bruce Bochy does a great job of resting players and kind of getting through the whole season, having the big picture in mind all the time, but there are a lot of fans that just don't understand that. I mean, I heard from quite a few people when it was Kelby Tomlinson playing second base and Adrian's at shortstop and Tomlinson didn't make that double play. Oh, why wasn't Crawford in there? And why wasn't Panic in there in that game? And you know, you got to rest players from time to time, and Bochy knows how to do that and how to handle all that. But how difficult is it as a manager? Because there are the pressures to win each game. You're playing the Dodgers, but it is April.
Individuals and situations. That's what it is. Yeah. Of course it's April. If this had been a World Series game, you know, I'm sure it would have been, probably, you know, Thomason probably wouldn't have started the game, right? I mean, every situation is different. Bochy was, of course, asked about it after the game, and he said, you know, last year Thomason played an okay second base, and so there was every reason for him to believe that he could make that play, and he should have made that play. Everybody... I keep making these obscure references. I don't know who, Jimmy Durante or somebody. The two things every American male thinks they can do is, drive a fire truck and manage a baseball team, right? That's part of the fun of it. Managing baseball team is a tough job. Bruce Bochy's paid well. I don't think he would say his job is any tougher than a heart surgeon.
No,
but. Well, again, that part of the whole conversation piece thing I mentioned. And again, because we're familiar with all these characters, it's a nightly TV series, The Giants. We know the characters, and we know the manager. We know him, too. And so that adds to the enjoyment of it. And I'm sure Bruce totally understood why people questioned, you know, that and he was happy to answer it. It's just part of the. We got a whole lot more of that coming up. It's gonna be a really interesting summer. It would be great. I've always and you know what? Maybe some team will do this interactively, but it would be fun to have like at the start of that inning or whatever to like do Brochi just turn and say like, okay, defensive replacement now or not?
Yeah, just what take do you think? A poll. Yeah,
and then if it goes wrong, then turn to all the people that punched in, you know, defensive change, you know, yes, and then there's an error.
They get the blame.
No, they get electric shock.
Oh, nice. That's
funny. You have some device at home where you put on, and yeah, you get a manage, and if you make a wrong choice, you get an electric shock. Now we're talking.
You know what? I've actually heard this before. Do you remember Sid Thrift? Sid Thrift, it was a general manager of the Pirates back in the day, and then the Orioles. He once came on the air and told me that he wished that he had some kind of electric shock that he could put on a player from upstairs, you know, up in the press box. That when they did something wrong, he wanted to shock them.
Well, I don't know.
That's not good.
Yeah, well, but I would like to, you know, to see that at home.
Yeah.
You know that, and the other thing I want to see before. I die is, you know, that computer that won the game of Jeopardy. You know, remember HP or somebody came with a computer and it won a game of Jeopardy. I want to see like that computer manage a baseball game.
That'd be interesting. You could have a computer as an umpire, you know, and a computer manager.
If a computer can play Jeopardy, a computer can manage a baseball game. And feed in all the data, and then just see what happens and see if it can manage Bruce Bochy, you know?
That'd be funny. Now pinch hitting Trevor Brown.
Yeah.
Wait, why is this happening? Well, the computer decided that it was best.
Yeah. And then do the post-game interviews with the computer.
Wow.
It'd be awesome.
That'd be good. Now, here's what I want to see, and this actually might be realistic. I want to see you at a Giants Day game, and then the Warriors are playing a playoff game that, let's say, starts at 5 because it's 8 Eastern time, and that's what they decide. So you swing over there and catch some of that. And then the Sharks play a 7:30 home ice game. So you'll have a triple header in one day. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm trying to think if I've ever done anything like that. I've done that, like, with my kids playing sports, right? I have done a baseball game with a night Sharks game, I think, once. And I know I've done, like, a day baseball game. There have been times that the A's and Giants do that. I remember I did that once. I think I wrote about it. One of the teams played in the day and one night at home. And, of course, you could do that with the San Jose Giants. You could do a night game after a day game. And
I actually did that Thursday. Well, I did part of the San Francisco Giants, and then I went to the San Jose Giants to work on it. So,
yeah,
it was fun.
You. I'm sorry I didn't put that in my list of bucket list things to do.
Now you got to do that for next year.
What about, are you going to do the other stuff too?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go down the list here. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them here, but that was my favorite one. The glove was my favorite one.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, sit in the right field seats. I mean, I think I've done most of these things. Root for Tim Lincecum, I'm doing that. Okay. Yeah. So all that stuff, snag the foul.
Drive to Sacramento on the hottest day of the year, yeah, watch the game up there with a cold beer. Yeah.
It was really good. I like the fans bucket list.
Thanks. Well, yeah, it was fun.
Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you at the ballpark soon. And then the arenas, too, as well.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's always fun to be on the show. We'll see you at the yard.
That's Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. Coming up on Wednesday, we'll hear from John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part two of our conversation that we had in San Francisco at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.